T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Next, I'd like to introduce...
Throw your hands in the air if you's a true player.
Big Booty is my kryptonite.
That boy is good.
Good and terrible.
You shut your mouth.
I think you two dudes are going to become real homies.
Where do we find these guys?
Oh, man, I hate those guys.
This is Sports Daily with Bruce Hertl and Jacob Albrecht on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
And a good Thursday morning to you, and especially good Thursday morning, Shocker fans. We're ready. Let it loose. Celebrate. It's a big time win in Stillwater on Wednesday night. Jacob Albrecht alongside Tommy Caster. First time in a while to have Tommy in, so we're happy about that. Joining you today on this Wednesday. What day is it? Thursday edition of Sports Daily. 869-1240. We're going to give you the number to call now because, Shocker fans, I know you got some things you want to talk about. Excitement. What'd you see in that game against the Cowboys of Oklahoma State last night? Probably the second best opponent Wichita State has faced this year outside of Arizona. And the Shockers in a really curious, interesting game and the way that it played out, go down there, get a big-time win, and potentially, hopefully, have a cornerstone win outside of the conference when it matters in March and resumes are being compared. Tommy, good morning. How are you? Welcome back to the show.
Hey, I'm good, Jacob. It's been a while since we've been together. I lost my way into the building today, but I'm here. We're ready to go.
It is a confusing building. I'll give you that. it's a little bit of a maze, but it's nice. The facilities are fantastic. I will say that. Nicest for radio that I've ever been in. Shocker game last night.
Yeah.
What was your first, as you're watching that game, as it ends, like when the dust settles, we're all excited and hyped up after the win. What was your overall takeaway after you watched that game?
Yeah, I think you hit the nail on the head, when you said it was an interesting game, the way that it all played out from start to finish. I think that obviously you got to hang your hat on the fact that you went into Gallagher-Iba, you got a victory, a 9-point win over a Big 12 team. But at the same time, I think Shocker fans, I don't know how they're going to react to this as the show goes on. It wasn't all rainbows and butterflies for Wichita State. And, I think that there are some, I guess, at the very minimum, some questions that I think should be asked moving forward as far as the production from the starting five, as far as this, the tendency of this team to fall behind early in games and have to claw their way back. At the end of the day, though, the Shockers are in a good stretch of games right now, taking on, big teams like Missouri in the SEC and Oklahoma State, of course, Kansas State this weekend downtown here in Wichita. I don't think that Shocker fans can rest on their laurels right now. There's a lot going on that I think that, again, we're early in the season, but a lot of questions I think that, probably should be answered, especially as we get into conference play.
Yeah, I have those questions too, but man, I watched that, and when we talk about the odd nature of that game, the Shockers were on the bad end of 10-0 runs to start both halves of that game.
Right.
I mean, just really wacky stuff that you don't see and you certainly don't typically climb out of. I don't know how to quantify it. Wichita State was ahead at halftime despite shooting 37% again. And it's now they were much better offensively in the second half. 48% from the field, 40% from three. They certainly got things going down low. But I sit there and I watch the team and I think a few things. And it's really, honestly, it's pretty similar to what we saw last year. I think this year's team is better than last year's team. I'll say that. But I think some of the things about them are the same. So what stands out to me is, boy, it feels like you're just scratching the surface with this team. This team feels like its upside is tremendous. And their floor will be very high because they just flat never stop getting after the opposition. They bring it every minute of the game. The depth helps that because they can be pretty aggressive. I don't mind the rotation. I think the rotation's just about right because they end up using, you know, all nine of the guys that they're, you know, running out there most of the time. They all get significant minutes. So to me, the order of those minutes isn't super, you know, isn't super important. I just think that this team has so much more on the bone that it will give us ultimately this year, especially as the offense comes. Because as the offense is still clearly behind the defense, to me, in my opinion, it's coming along. I think it's getting better. And we saw that in the second half, and we've seen it in the second halves of games. And they adjust well. Look, they were, you know, two times in that game. And this is why I thought Isaac Brown got the job last year and why I thought the team really rallied to him. Clearly, he owns that locker room. I mean, I don't think there was very little question about that a few weeks into his tenure when he was the interim. But now that he's the head coach, this, things stay the same. The team rallies to him, and his in-game adjustments, especially defensively, I mean, we watch it happen almost every night. You get out to a 10-0 run, they tweak a few things, and all of a sudden Oklahoma State can't figure it out, and the Shockers are right there. Those are the things that, you know, to me stand out for him as a head coach. I think he does such a good job in-game. The offense, you know, I think a part of the offense is execution. I think, you know, early in that game, we saw bunnies miss down low from the bigs, you know, in the game yesterday when Oklahoma State got on a 10-0 run. So is that an issue of not getting good opportunities or not executing the opportunities you've got? I'd say it's the latter, and they have to do that. They did that late in the game when Mo really got it going, late in the game. The offense was totally different. Every time we talk to Isaac Brown, he says it starts down low for us. And that's why. I mean, it's very obvious that they want to do that. And when Mo gets going, it totally changes the entire dynamic of this offense. I love what we're seeing from Ricky Council. It didn't take long last year, I don't think, Tommy, when we saw Ricky Council play and the spark and the energy he brought off the bench to know that, to me, like the next guy for Wichita State basketball is Ricky Council.
Oh, yeah.
He is an incredible athlete, and you can just see it coming together. And when he finds that consistency, and if he can find it this year, and I think there's a chance that he can, when you've got both he and Etienne there, that's going to change things too. And we've seen it this year. You kind of need one of them to go when you're in good shape. If they can ever both go, you know, at the same time, I just think there's so much more for this team because you feel like the offense will continue to grow and get better as the season goes along, as it does in most games that they play. They get better offensively throughout a game. I don't think they're anywhere near their peak offensively, and I think they are. It is a fine-tuned machine right now defensively.
Yeah, it's a long season, right? I mean, you know, we're barely into December. We're not even into conference play yet. So there's a lot of time for Isaac Brown to figure out exactly how to get the best execution offensively, you know, from his team. Shout out to Taylor Eldridge from the Eagle. I thought this was remarkable. He tweeted last night that the Shockers outscored the Cowboys by 30 points in the 29 minutes Ricky Council was on the floor. So the Shockers were outscored by 21 in the 11 minutes that Council did not play in the game. So, I mean, I think that right there, that stat tells you how much of a game changer offensively Ricky Council is. You know, and at the same time, too, you know, I think that, you know, you look at the way that this team comes out of the gate and, you know, against the Cowboys on both, you know, the opening half, first half and the second half, kind of coming out flat a little bit. I think that's something that as the season goes on, I'm sure that Coach Brown is going to want to address, especially with his starting five. When we get into conference play, you get deeper into the season, you've got to come out strong. You've got to make sure that you've got, you know, your guys to be able to, you know, show up and rise up from the beginning, from the opening tip, and then coming out of the locker room after halftime. You know, this team has proven that it can come from behind. This team has proven that it can fall behind in the second half, that it can go offensively to someone like Ricky Council last night or Tyson Etienne to make the big shot late in the game. But at the end of the day, I'm sure you would love, if you're Coach Brown, you would love to not have to be in that position. You would love to not have to be down by a certain amount of points, you know, with 6 minutes to go or 3 minutes to go, or, you know, in the case of that opening game against Jacksonville State with, you know, the last possession on the line and Tyson Etienne, you know, making that shot to win the game for the Shockers. You'd like to be able to be in control. And I think a lot of that comes from the way that the team starts. We know they can finish. I think the biggest question mark is, can they start?
Yeah, I do too. And you know, I'm not a smart enough basketball guy to know why there has been a slow start in some games. Don't know. I know that yesterday I thought it was offensively an execution issue down low, because that game, as it got out to a 10-0 run, in all likelihood should have been at least 10-4, if not 10-6. There were just easy baskets missed. Ricky Council was unbelievable in that game. I'm not reactionary enough. 869-1240, by the way. Give us a call, Shocker fans. Let us know what you're thinking today. I'm not reactionary enough to say, all right, blow up the rotation, blow up everything you've worked on all summer and into the season. And you know, Ricky Council played 30 minutes last night.
Yeah.
Behind Tyson Etienne and Dexter Dennis, he played the third most minutes on the floor. As long as that's happening, it doesn't matter if he starts. And the reason I say that, Greg Marshall, in all those years, he used to say, it doesn't matter who starts. It matters how many minutes guys get. Who cares who starts? Doesn't matter. It's just the guys that run out there and they can quickly get subbed in and out. It's irrelevant. The reason I like the way that Isaac Brown's using Ricky Council is because he is, and he was last year, and it just is carried right in. It's the same thing with Monzie Jackson. They're such energy guys that when things, you know, hit a lull, you can bring both of them in, and you know you're getting a spark immediately, one way or the other. And with Monzi, it can be wild and crazy caveman style. Like, he just gets in there, and he's going to go 1,000 miles an hour and shake things up. I love his game. Is it out of control sometimes? Sure it is. I don't mind that, because I think he's going to change whatever the direction of the game is for the other team. He's going to change it in some way. Council does that a little bit offensively for the Shockers. If they're flat, he gives them a spark. And it's important at all times, to me, it's important at all times that he and or Tyson are on the floor. They got to be on the floor. I don't want to see a rotation where both of those guys come off at the same time. That's why, you know, and they're both playing close to 30 minutes or so. I think the rotation is fine. I think that what Wichita State has in the bag is nine guys that legitimately need to give them big minutes in every game. Quay Grant has provided offensive sparks. Yesterday, not his day. I mean, it wasn't. But I really liked the way Craig Porter played. He had too many turnovers. And turnovers have been a problem for this team. I mean, their turnover to assist ratio is like in the negative. I mean, it's not good, but it's every game. I'm still trying to digest that, because it just, I'm not used to seeing it. But you know what else it did? They turned Oklahoma State over 21 times. We talked about the Oklahoma State defense, rightfully so. Oklahoma State's defense coming into that game was one of the best in the country. But who was the better defense last night? I don't think it was close. Wichita State's been the better defense in just about every game they've played, and Arizona was, you know, just shot blocking everything. But Wichita State, if they know that they can come into the game and be the better defensive team every single time they're on the floor. That doesn't mean that it'll be the better rebounding team, because, again, last night against a team that had more size, they were out-rebounded. I mean, Wichita State doesn't have just an abundance of size. But defensively in general, if they, in their heads, come into the game and think, we're the better defensive team every time that they take the floor, that makes this team so much better. So much better. And that's what they do. That's their identity. That's Shocker basketball, and Isaac Brown has embraced it, rightfully so. He's been a part of it for a long time, and the team embraces it too, and that's why I think they're going to be hard to beat this year, is because they're going to keep themselves in every game they play defensively.
Yeah, and you know, look, I'm not reactionary either to say that, okay, let's blow up the starting five. Let's do something different. Let's get somebody else in there. But at the same time, you know, you've got a few games under your belt now. I think you can kind of pick up on the trends. And I don't want to be harping on the starting five, because I know that there were huge contributions from some of those guys off the bench, you know, including Ricky Council, including, you know, Craig Porter and, you know, Clarence Jackson and some of those other guys off the bench. But when you look at some of the previous games and the plus minus numbers, you know, the Shockers were -8, the starting five, -8 against Arizona, -3 against UNLV. They were +8 against Missouri. You need to get more production out of the gate from the starting five. I'm not suggesting whatsoever that there should be a blow up in the rotation. But, you know, I absolutely agree with you, Jacob, that you know, if you're Isaac Brown, you should know that late in a game, you've got a go-to guy who can give you a bucket to put the team ahead, or to put the game away, or whatever that means, from night in to night out. My point is, wouldn't you love to not have to be in that position? Wouldn't you love to be able to get out in front and not have to worry about, okay, who are we going to go to with a few minutes left in the game to try to get back in it? And I think that as this Shocker team continues to mature, as Isaac Brown continues to figure out exactly what those rotations look like, you know, I'm optimistic that it's going to continue to help and continue to work and grow. He absolutely has the team. I'm not doubting that whatsoever. I just think it's a situation of, can we start to get ahead early so we don't have to worry down the stretch, and not even worry, we don't even have to think about down the stretch, who do we want to go to try to win the game?
Yeah, it is an interesting dynamic. Again, I don't think they get behind early if Mo makes a couple of baskets that he should have made early in that game. And I don't know, you know, I don't think changing the rotation would have done anything to affect that, because the buckets were there to get. He just didn't get them. And if that happens, then the rotation is fine. So I don't know that, you know, not executing down low a couple of times early is a general statement about what's on the floor at the moment. They got the looks that they wanted to get. They would draw that up and take those exact looks just about every time they played.
But
I thought they were good looks.
Wouldn't it be great, though, and I'm looking at all of the previous games that the Shockers have played so far, wouldn't it be great if there was a halftime score that the Shockers were, you know, ahead by 8, 9, 10, maybe even more? I mean, you look at really the only game where that's the case, you know, is the Tarleton State game. They were up by 7 at halftime. Other than that, you know, the Shockers, it's a one-possession game, or they're down. I mean, they were down by 4 at halftime in that opening game of the season. Of course, they were down by quite a bit against Arizona at halftime. They were, you know, up by 2 against the Cowboys last night, which is a good thing for sure, considering the hole that they fell into. But I guess my only point moving forward is, let's get out of the gate strong so we don't have to worry about what things are going to look like in the second half.
Let's look at the minutes. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back and we'll continue with the Shockers and sort of look ahead to Sunday, because I do want to, this is what's on people's mind. It's the question everybody was asking last night, the rotation. I'm going to continue to defend a little bit and let's discuss it, because it is interesting. They got 9 guys, and we'll talk about what it's meant. And, you know, the totality of what we've seen now for not quite a year and a half under Isaac Brown, and what it looks like, and what to expect, and why these things might happen. We'll dig into that. Your calls, Shocker fans. Let's hear it. 869-1240. Reactions from last night. Looking ahead. What are we thinking? We'll do it all next. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster, Sports Daily on a Thursday.
and that number on the KFH hotline, 869-1240. And that's the KFH hotline sponsored by Twin Peaks, east of 21st and Rock West at Ridge and Taft.
Your phone call is welcome. 869-1240. Sports Daily on 97.5 and 1240 KFH.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome back in, everybody. Sports Daily on KFH. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster joining us. Good to have Tommy in. Talk to Tommy about his work with Wichita Thunder now and what they've got coming up a little later in the show. Major League Baseball has a lockout, by the way, and I'm not sure that I care. And I'm a baseball guy, but you know, I know that we're going shocker heavy today, and we'll maybe spend some time on the lockout. But the fact that we're maybe going to spend some time on the lockout when it just happened essentially at midnight, I think tells us all we need to know about the lockout, and that, you know, hey, Major League Baseball, nobody cares. This isn't 1978 anymore. We got plenty to do. You want to lock out? Fine. We'll find something else to do. And that's a problem. That's a problem for baseball or any league that thinks that they can pull things like this. But we'll maybe talk about that later. Maybe we'll get into it later in the week. Again, that's the problem. Shockers, though. We're talking about the rotation, and I think that that is the overwhelming sentiment after you watch that game from fans right now is, oh man, we got it. You know, you got to find a way to get this thing shaken up. But again, I'll contend with this against being overreactionary to the rotation. The rotation matters. The starting five does not matter. Joe Pleasant was in the starting five. He played the fewest amount of minutes out of the 9-man rotation last night. There is going to be a balance of minutes. There is going to be, more often than not, it would appear in this season, situations where Mo Udeze gets into foul trouble. There are going to be times where shots aren't falling for certain players. Tyson Etienne, and his shot volume was not high yesterday. He only made two shots, but he only took seven because it just wasn't there. Oklahoma State was taking it away. What's more important is that at any given point on the floor, to me, you've got shot makers out there and you have enough of a presence with your bigs. So what rotation exists where you either have Mo on the floor, you know, and I don't think Kenny Poto and Mo are the same player either. I like having, you know, okay, so let me maybe make this a little bit simpler. If you put Ricky Council into the starting five right now, he would replace Joe Pleasant, right? Because you're not going to take Dexter Dennis off the floor. You're not going to take Tyson Etienne off the floor, right? You need a point guard, unless you want Tyson to run the point guard, and they haven't really done that yet this year. So I don't know that that's in the mix. But you can run four around one, which is the way that you do that. But clearly, Wichita State, Isaac Brown and the coaching staff, they're not ready to just go full four around one. Other teams do that. We've seen Kansas do that for years at times where they're not as deep in with their bigs. It can work, but it has to work both ways, right? You have to be able to run that and then also defend. And I'll tell you that defense is more important to this team than offense. It just is. That's Shocker basketball. And quite frankly, I don't disagree with that. So right now, if they feel like they need to be better defensively, and this is me, look, I could be wrong about this, but I would think that you're seeing that because they want to establish things defensively right out of the gates in a game. And right now, defensively, they feel like that's the five they need to be sending out there. And so eventually you're going to get to an offensive rotation when you have to have it. I just think for this team, defense means everything. So to run four around one, they're clearly not ready to do that right out of the gates in a game. They got to see things a little bit, but that's the way you have to do it, right? If Ricky Council enters the starting lineup, it's going to be for Joe Pleasant. You're not taking Dexter Dennis, who is an All-American level defender, in my opinion, off the floor. You're not taking Tyson Etienne off the floor. You're not taking a point guard off the floor, whichever one it is, unless you're ready to run Tyson at the point, and I don't think they're ready to do that yet. Could a starting lineup exist that where, you know, Tyson runs the point and you get Council in there and maybe Monzie's in? It could, but all that ultimately matters is how many minutes these guys play in totality. And in totality, I thought the minute split last night was just about perfect.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you look at, you know, defensively, and I don't want to discount the Shockers' output when it comes to what they're doing on the defensive side of the floor. I mean, Oklahoma State came into this game averaging over 80 points in their six wins. And, of course, you know, you look at that final score, the Shockers held them to 51 points on 37% shooting from the field. So, you know, again, defensively, it's there for the Shockers. I don't want to discount that whatsoever, but I do want to go back to what you had said, Jacob, at the beginning about how, you know, maybe the Shockers don't fall behind 10-0 if they make, you know, a couple of those bunnies early on in the game. It wasn't just that, though. Not only did they miss their first six shots, but they turned the ball over four times in the first 4 minutes. So, you know, again, defensively, it's there. I'm not doubting whatsoever what they're doing on the defensive side of the floor. We know that the Shockers can get a stop. I would never advocate to take Dexter Dennis off the court for what he can do defensively for this team. But at the same time, you know, I do think that there are some questions about who do you go to? I mean, of course, you know, Tyson Etienne has been the playmaker. He's been the shot maker for this Shockers team. He had 5 points last night. Again, everybody's going to have, you know, games where they're not going to put up, a ton of points. Ricky Council was able to pick up that slack and carry the Shockers offensively. But who's going to be that go-to guy night in and night out for the Shockers? We do have a call on the KFH hotline brought to you by Twin Peaks. Drew is on the line. He wants to talk about the Shockers. What's going on, Drew?
Hey, Tommy. How you doing?
Good. How about you?
I'm doing all right. I watched the game last night. There's a couple of things that maybe you guys can talk about, explain to me. But, you know, you have two of your guards only scoring 5 points. Together, they take 11 shots. And, you know, that's fine with me, but there's no assists. Like, that's the thing that drives me nuts about this Wichita team is, like, there's no assists. Like, they're just driving the basket. They're one-on-one stuff, a lot of dribbling. I want basketball, pure basketball, if you know what I'm saying. So, I mean, it's a huge win. I mean, down the stretch, we'll see what it looks like. But, you know, it's a huge win for Wichita State. The other thing I was going to say, huge win for another Wichita team in town. The Wichita Thunder beat the Iowa Heartlanders in OT. So anyways, I was just calling in to let you know that. I'm going to hang up and listen to you guys talk about me complaining. Bye.
Thanks, Drew. I love it. This is good stuff, by the way. And I knew what was coming when we came in. Here's what I'll say about the assist. I imagine everybody would like more assists. But also, let's just in our minds think about, and I would have to go to the film and look at this, but I'm pretty certain I'm right on this. When Mo gets the ball inside, he likes to put it on the floor once, right? That takes an assist away. When there's a really nice pass inside down low to the bigs and they put it on the floor, that takes the assist away. So I think that that can be just a little bit deceptive. I think they're turning it over a little bit too much. I don't like that part of the assist to turnover ratio more than the assist, but two things exist within this team. One, a lot of offense is going to come on Tyson Etienne ISOs. I don't think there's anybody. I know that drives people crazy, but you have an NBA-level offensive player out there. That's his game. Isaac Brown says time and time again, we will never tell him not to shoot. So that's going to be a part of the offense regardless. It just is. And I'm okay with that. I mean, he's that kind of player offensively when he's going well. And the other part is, a great pass inside doesn't always equate to an assist. It's not that they're not passing. And you know, where, how many pass around the, you know, you got to find the open man. I'd like to see more assists like everybody else. I just don't think we're going to see this offense and this team have those gaudy assist numbers because I don't think the roster lends itself to that.
Yeah, I mean,
if that, does that make any sense, Tommy?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that number will be deceptive a little bit all season long.
I think it will too. And at the same time, I know that I've been a little critical of, you know, some of the ways that this team has come out of the gate. You know, offensively, what do things look like for the Shockers moving forward? But, you know, I'll give credit where credit is due. This is going to be a major win for the Shockers come March. I mean, this should be a quadrant one road win against the Cowboys.
Yeah, I think it will be too. I'd bet a good amount of money that this ends up as a quad one win.
So as far as I'm concerned, you go into Stillwater before 2017. This was an incredibly tough place for the Shockers to play. You know, they had lost, I don't even have it in front of me. They had lost a lot of games in a row against the Cowboys when they went into Stillwater until Landry Shamet came around in 2017. And then Tyson Etienne in 2019 carried the Shockers there against the Cowboys. But, you know, you go into, you know, hostile territory in Stillwater. It's a win against a Big 12 opponent. And this should bode well for the Shockers. And, you know, again, I've got at least, I don't know about you, I've got some questions moving forward for the Shockers, but I'm grateful for the win. I'll take the win because this is going to be important,
right? It's
December
2nd.
Sure.
It's December 2nd. We'd be crazy not to have questions about every team in the country, and we do. Just, you know, a couple of curious things out of the series. Road teams have now won. I believe that makes five straight, which is just when you think about Koch Arena and Gallagher IPA, two of the toughest places to play in the country, that's just an unbelievable number. So Oklahoma State last night, if I remember correctly, was at 38 in the KenPom. They're down to 45 now, so still just fine. Wichita State moves up just a bit. They come up to 54. I want to say they were at 58. For the record, Kansas State made a pretty significant jump with their convincing win. I think they jumped almost 10 spot. I think it was like 78 to 71, so they're 71 now, and you get them on a neutral floor. The good thing about Kansas State and Oklahoma State, it's hard to imagine them not moving up just because of the difficulty of the schedule that they'll play. As long as they, you know, win, you know, some games in the conference, they're moving up. So as we, you know, look ahead, and we'll revisit the Shockers in the second hour, but just to sort of put a bow on it for now, as we look ahead for Wichita State to Sunday at Intrust Bank Arena, no, it's not a true road game, which carries more weight, obviously, but it's also not a home game. And Kansas State showed you last night, you know, that they are capable of being pretty dang good. And Albany's not good. Albany's bad. That game was probably it was about an 18-point spread, and K-State was up 9 at half. So they were right where they should be at halftime. And then they just absolutely blew the doors off of them in the second half. I'm telling you, Kansas State's better than people think that they are. I don't know where they'll finish in the conference. I think, like the Shockers, they will be right. You know, we'll be talking about their resume, and they'll be in the mix all year long. Those freshmen last year were good, and they're now got a year experience underneath them, and they've got two pretty good looking transfers in Ish Massoud and Mark Davis and Mark Adams, and you know, I just don't sleep on K-State. Sunday at Interest Bank Arena is going to be tough. I mean, that's going to be a fun game. I think that, you know, it's going to be competitive. I think that both teams will bring it. I think that they'll feed off the energy. I would imagine there'll be a lot of K-State fans there, wouldn't you? I mean, why not? Mark Smith, by the way. Goodness gracious.
Oh, yeah.
Mark Smith came in from Mizzou, and Ish Massoud came in from Wake Forest to a talented team. I think Sunday's going to be a blast, and I think it's going to be a pretty tight game.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun, but I have no idea what to think about K-State. I mean, I know that they can blow out teams like the University of North Dakota and Albany. I have no idea. We'll see how things go on Sunday against the Shockers.
Yeah, it will. At K-State, I'm telling you, those freshmen, now sophomores or COVID freshmen, whatever you want to call them, Pack, Selton Miguel, and Bradford, if he ever, you know, gets his legs underneath him, are all good players. And Pack's like all Big 12 good, maybe as soon as this year. K-State's got some guys, and they've got a little depth now. And, you know, when he has the guys, Bruce Weber can coach. I do think that this is going to be a pretty tough game for both teams, obviously. And I think it's going to be, I think the environment will be fun. There are tickets available. You may know a little more about that than I do, Tommy, but I checked the other day and there are tickets available.
Yeah, there are.
So you can get out there. I'm sad that I can't go. I've got some family stuff, but man, it is going to be, I love it. I love that they're playing these games. I'm so excited about it. I hope they do it every year after this series is extended. 869-1240. We'll turn the page a little bit. I want to give Tommy a chance to tell us about the Thunder. We got a unique opportunity for that and how their season's getting going. And I guess we got to talk about Major League Baseball lockout, if anybody cares. That's my question. Does anybody care? 869-1240. We'll do it as we continue on Sports Daily. Welcome back, everybody. Sports Daily. Jacob Albrock, Tommy Caster with you on this Thursday. Happy to have Tommy in. Tommy, since we've last talked, which has been a few months, you've had some life changes.
I have.
VP for the Wichita Thunder, what does that role look like, and how are things going here out of the gates for Wichita's hockey team?
Yeah, so I started with the Thunder about 3 months ago. I work in ticket sales, oversee the ticket sales department, oversee the marketing for the team. The Thunder, man, are on a roll right now. Tied for first place in the Mountain Division in the ECHL, tied with the Utah Grizzlies. The Thunder, they've won, they're 8-1-1 in their last 10 games, if that tells you anything about how the Thunder's playing right now. They won on an overtime shootout against Iowa, the first ever matchup against the Iowa Heartlanders in Iowa last night. And so, things are going really well for the Thunder right now. Of course, you know, the team plays at Intrust Bank Arena, and we're trying to pack the house each and every game.
Yeah, how's that going? I love Thunder games. We joke around the office now. I really wish we could figure out to have hockey in the summertime, right? I wish the Thunder could play in the summer. How has it gone? We know Thunder fans, the diehards are crazy. Are you guys seeing a lot of support this year? It seems like things have been going pretty good.
Yeah, you know, the team had a lot of success last year, made it to the playoffs. And you know, the one thing I've learned over the last couple of months working with the Thunder is, like you just mentioned, how diehard Thunder fans are. They love their team. They love the players. You know, they'll support the team through good times and bad. Right now, we're in really good times for Thunder hockey. The team's playing really, really well. You know, and so well. well. A couple of players, you know, just got called up to the AAA affiliate in Bakersfield. Of course, the Thunder, for those that don't know, affiliated with the Edmonton Oilers in the NHL. And so Tim Soderlund and Matteo Gennaro called up to Bakersfield just the other day. So, you know, that's the thing is that, you know, I think sometimes people don't really recognize or don't know that the team is affiliated with an NHL franchise in the same way that the Wind Surge affiliated with the Minnesota Twins. They're bringing players up. You know, you see players that have a lot of success that are doing really well. You know, there's a good chance that they're going to be called up, and you may even see them in the NHL.
Yeah, that's we love to see that, and it is fun, man. I enjoy it every time I go to a game. I love hockey live. Like, just live hockey is one of the real fun sports experiences. You know, we hope as we transition here in the spring/summer, we'll be able to watch baseball live. A lockout today, and I get it. It's a part of business. It's fine. If baseball, though, didn't learn its lesson from public perception after the negotiations on the COVID season, which were much more complicated, in my opinion, and trickier to navigate, it's amazing to me that sometimes baseball can't get out of its own way. Like, you know, and I get it. A lifetime ago, there were lockouts, it seems like, every year, right? Before you and I graced this planet, I think, Tommy. But but it was. I remember the, you know, I remember the strike of the mid-90s that took a season away.
Yeah.
And I also remember how, if not for the steroid era, that may have crushed baseball. The strike crushed the NHL, in my opinion.
Sure.
Like, I think the NHL became immensely less popular after the strike of whatever, the early 2000s. I think baseball was threatened by it, and, you know, a steroid era saved the game. I've said that forever. Think what you want about it, but the home run chase of McGuire and Sosa and then into Bonds saved the game. So I think that they're going to get this deal done, but what baseball never understands is that people care far less about baseball in their daily lives, as a general statement, than the country used to. I love baseball. I'll watch baseball every day. If the Rangers/Royals are competitive, I'll watch them almost every day. There aren't a lot of people like me anymore. So when you sit here and you say you lock out, like, I could, I'm a baseball guy, I don't care. If they don't start playing in April, I'm going to find something else to do. There's plenty to do. It's not 1978 anymore. Like, you got to understand, read the room, baseball. Figure out a way to do these negotiations behind closed doors. On the player's side, and I know it's not fair because these are just examples of contracts, but I'm speaking for the general public who doesn't understand the intricacies of labor disputes, right? We just saw Corey Seager signed a $320 million contract. Do you think you're going to garner sympathy from people who are recovering from a pandemic crippled economy and garner up a lot of, you know, oh man, these players are so mistreated for ownership? The same thing goes for ownership. Do you think you're going to garner any sympathy when we all know revenue and TV deals are at an incredible high? Do you think anybody's going to care that you can't find a way to get it figured out with the players? And we know how you treated minor league baseball players. Like crap, right? Forever. And, like, it's just read the room. Read the room. You're going to drive yourself to apathy to the public, and that's the worst place you can be.
I mean, the way that I see it is that, you know, where I'll disagree with you a little bit is that I do think the strike in 94 ruined baseball. You mentioned people that paid attention to Major League Baseball every day. I think a lot of them stopped doing that in 1994. Yeah, the home run chase in 98, that, you know, got people back, but it didn't get everybody back. And I think the biggest thing that, you know, you can look at from that strike back in 94 is the fact that there was no sympathy for either side. And I think that's what's going to happen if this drags on, is that nobody is looking at this. No casual fan is looking at this and saying, oh, I side with the players or I side with the owners. Nobody wins. You know, the average fan, they just want baseball. They're not going to take sides. They just want to watch their favorite team. And so It's December 2nd. I don't particularly care right now, but I will in February. I will in March if there's no spring training. I will in April if there's no games. So there's some time to get it worked out. I just wish that all the posturing would go away, but it is what it is.
Don't you think you'll just move on to some degree, though?
You know,
you're not going to sit around and wait like you would have in 1994.
Yeah, I'll move on, but I'll be upset about it. I mean, you know, think about...
Oh, I'll be upset. Don't get me wrong. I'll be crushed. I hate it. I hate that we're even having this, but this does an immense amount of damage in a world where there's 1,000 things to do. We all have other priorities. Like, nobody's going to sit around and wait on billionaires arguing with millionaires. That's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's unfortunate that it has to get to this point. I think the lockout, you know, and everything. Like, I saw Major League Baseball pulled the pictures and bios off the websites of the current players.
It's stupid.
Just get it figured out. Just get it worked out.
I don't know if anybody's ever been more tone deaf than Rob Manfred.
Yeah.
And maybe that serves the owners well. I don't know. But again, from a fan's perspective, I don't really care. Just, you better figure it out, baseball, because if you go away, there won't be as many people waiting for you as there was a lifetime ago, a generation ago. They'll just leave. They won't come back. We're baseball fans. I would be crushed without it. Most people, I don't know how much they'll care. You know, that's just the way it is. 869-1240. We're going to turn the page. We'll talk to our friend Chelsea Messenger, her favorite football bets of the week and anything else. We'll do that when we come back. We have On This Day in Sports History coming up in hour number two as well. If you missed anything on the show, we'll get back into the Shockers, but you can always go back and listen to us. Download the Odyssey app. You can listen to KFH Radio from anywhere live, or you can find our podcast. Make sure you favorite the KFH page on that app to listen in. Hour number two of Sports Daily coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Tip, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.